There's a story of a man, a criminal. His crime was that he stole food in order to feed his family. And for this, he was in prison for almost 20 years, whipped, beaten, worked almost to death. Finally, after all those years, his sentence is up. He's free to go out into the world once again. But he doesn't find peace or kindness out in the world. He can't find a job. No one trusts him since he's an ex-con. He's thrown out of every place where he seeks shelter. No matter where he goes in the world, he meets only with contempt and mistreatment. And so he becomes hardened, bitter, resentful, hating the world and hating everyone in it. But then one day he meets a man who doesn't throw him out. This man, a bishop, takes him in, speaks kindly to him, gives him a meal and a place to spend the night. The man is shocked. He doesn't know what to think. This is so different. It's too difficult for him to believe that someone could actually care for him. It's just too new, too strange. And so he reverts back to what he knows. In the middle of the night, the man gets up, he steals the silverware from the bishop's house and takes off into the night. The police catch him, though, and they drag him back to the bishop. But the bishop tells the police to let him go, that no crime has been committed. He gave the man the silverware. And in addition, he gives the man two silver candlesticks, saying that the man left so quickly that in his haste he forgot them. The man is shocked. He's dumbstruck, and he is free. If that story sounds familiar to you, it's because it's from the classic novel Les Misérables by Victor Hugo and from its adaptations on stage and on film. And the man, the criminal, is Jean Valjean. He's the main character of the novel, and his life is totally transformed by that bishop's act of mercy. The bishop truly lives out Jesus' words in our gospel today. Love your enemies and do good to them. And lend expecting nothing back. If someone takes your cloak from you, do not withhold your tunic either. Be merciful, just as your heavenly Father is merciful. Les Misérables is one of my favorite books, one of my favorite movies. I can't recommend it highly enough. It's not for kids, but it is a profound work, a wonderful work in any of its formats. And one reason it's so great is that it really shows the power of this teaching of Jesus. You know, we may listen to this gospel, we may hear it, and we say, oh yeah, I've heard that before. Sermon on the Mount stuff, very good. And we might think it's kind of boring and familiar. But in Les Misérables, Victor Hugo gives us a man who actually lives this teaching out. And it's the most powerful thing in the book. The bishop's act of mercy, of loving and giving even more to the one who's already betrayed his trust and stolen from him, this shakes the very foundations of how Jean Valjean sees the world. It totally changes his life. Inspired by that act of pure love, Jean Valjean redeems himself. He reforms his life and he becomes himself a man of mercy and selfless love, who then goes out and changes the world. Brothers and sisters, we are supposed to become like that. We are supposed to live like that bishop and like Jean Valjean. Now, as great as the book and the musical and the movies are, the world needs more than fictional characters as examples of Jesus' teachings. Jesus commands us, you and I, to live like that. Our lives are supposed to be living examples of that merciful love, examples that can transform those around us. Who knows? In God's providence, it might very well be your act of heroic love and generosity, like that bishop, that God has planned for the conversion of your neighbor, your coworker, or your relative. If you don't give him that witness, what will become of him? What will become of the world if we don't follow Jesus' command to love our enemies? This is a very difficult command, of course. You could maybe make an argument that Jesus might have been speaking in hyperbole when he talks about giving your tunic to if someone steals your cloak. But even if you did that, it's still a drastically difficult way to live. We might think that it's just too difficult, that it's just an unfair, arbitrary command of God. You know, why is he commanding us to do something so hard, so impossible and unrealistic? We might think it's just some harsh test, this hoop that he wants us to jump through, and it's just too high up, and he wants us to do that before he'll save us, and it's unrealistic, impossible. What's the point of it, we might say. But the key is in Jesus' words, that if we do this, we will be children of the Most High, for he himself is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. That's the key. It's about the way God is and the way he lives. We're not supposed to just sort of get by here on earth. We're not supposed to just receive God's forgiveness and mercy and then just go and live a kind of decent life. You know, maybe growing a little bit in virtue over our life, but focused mainly on ourselves and our needs. Rather, we're supposed to be changed to become like God. Our hearts are supposed to be transformed to become little images of the heart of God, who loves and has mercy on the ungrateful and the wicked, Jesus says. The way that God loves and forgives and has mercy on the undeserving and those who take advantage of him, that's the way we are supposed to live. Ultimately, that's what salvation is. Salvation isn't just about making it to heaven, just sort of sliding under the wire. Salvation is a matter of becoming like God, of having the image of God in us restored and perfected until our heart reflects the heart of God like a perfect mirror. That is what it is to be saved. That's what we were made for. And that's what will transform the world. And it is possible to live like this. It is possible to be transformed by grace. There's power in the cross of Christ. This is what we ask for at every Mass. This is what we ask for in prayer, that God may work on our hearts, that his grace may be active there, molding them, purifying them, transforming them to be more like his own heart. Next week, we'll have, after all the Masses, we'll have our prayer fair. It's a chance to hear, not from Father Kevin and myself, but from some of your fellow parishioners about their experiences in prayer, a chance to learn more about how to pray. How many of us have learned much about prayer in the past few years? What growth could come from that? I urge you to come to one or a couple of the sessions. There's a lot of great speakers lined up. Grow in prayer, because prayer is where this happens. You know, we do grow and stretch ourselves by our actions, but this transformation of our hearts is mainly the work of God and of his grace. And so it has to begin in prayer. Well, brothers and sisters, as Jesus teaches us to love our enemies, to bless those who curse us, and to lend, expecting nothing back, what he's really offering is to make our hearts like his. Will we let him transform us?